Wow, hard to believe that we're here and I'm able to stand before you not as a guest preacher. Still feel like a guest preacher this morning, but with the schedule that some people are suggesting for me, that's going to change very quickly. It's kind of a reverse journey of some pioneers that went from this congregation about 100 years ago to a church plant and to settle part of Alberta, province we've come from. And it was my privilege a number of years ago to see the shell of the Markham Missionary Church in Alberta. Some of you may not have known that there was a Markham Missionary Church there, but pioneer settlers went homesteading out in that area and chose an area that was incredible wilderness and still remains wilderness today. I don't know about the Lord's guidance in that, but out of that congregation has come the Castor Missionary Church, and that church carries on today. So kind of a reverse journey, different though. We didn't have to take horse and wagon to move into our house. There were a lot of horses under the hood of the truck that brought our things here. And we have been able to be in touch with our family. In contrast to those pioneers, for some of them, they never saw their family again when they made that journey out west. And so we're very grateful for technology. We think that's a gift from God. What a great sense of anticipation that Karen and I have lived with for these months since the commitment was made back and forth between us. And I want to thank many of you for your encouragement. So many Christmas cards showed up from Markham congregation that we just didn't anticipate. And everyone was a blessing. Look at that, we would say. There's a Christmas card that we would never have anticipated or seen before. But because of God's direction in our lives, we had that blessing. Your leaders have been incredibly helpful to us. And we thank them and we thank you for allowing them to be in leadership. I believe it's God's direction. The elders, the administration board have made things work in what were to us just huge issues in our lives time and again. And our thanks to you for that. And then help in settling in this week. Well, we're not really settled. We're kind of in our residence. And so we're able to find some floor space now. And in fact, the main floor is looking deceptively good. But if you go up or down, then the scene kind of changes. We had more offers of help from people than what we could use. And we thank you, each one, for that. Thanks to those people who cared for details, practical things that just greased the way for us, dishwashing, food that was brought, meals. Wow, it was awesome. So now, this morning, as I look at you, I know that we will get to know one another. That's a gift into our lives, as you're a sea of faces this morning, but along the way, we'll know, we'll attach names to faces. And because of Jesus having said, come to us, because of Jesus saying, David and Karen, get out of your boat, get over that side, trust me, come where I'm calling you, we will be co-workers in the kingdom of God in the days ahead. And that's an awesome reality. It's an amazing thing when Jesus speaks, come into our lives. I want to ponder that with you this morning in this message. When our daughter was just a tiny toddler, barely able to walk, there was a man in the church we were serving at that time. The man was actually John Quantz's uncle. And he wanted to show his affection to our tiny little girl and play with her. And so in the foyer of the church after a service, Laverne Bramhill would put out his hands to our daughter, Kelly, and he'd say, come, come. And she would inevitably turn away. It's the freedom of being a toddler. We didn't discipline her for being impolite or anything. It was cute at the time. Well, Laverne Bramhill did something that changed that one day. And as I remember it, on this particular Sunday morning, he got down at her level, was able to look eye to eye with her. But the big thing was that in his shirt pocket, he had a load of pens.
And that was fascinating to our daughter. So in that position, with that load of pens, he reached out his hands and he said, "Come." And with her eyes firmly fixed on the pens, she wobbled over to him. And as she reached for the pens, he scooped her up in her arms, and they developed a wonderful relationship based on pens. When Jesus reaches out his arms to us and says, "Come," how do we respond? Today I want to draw your attention to four different times in the Gospels that Jesus says, "Come." And I believe that these four scenes will hold a challenge for every person that is in this service today. And as we begin this new chapter of journeying together on the path that Jesus has for us, I believe that this will instruct us and help us and set some direction for us. I also believe that these four statements model for us the attitude that Jesus wants us to have as a church. Marvelous thing about being a church is that we get to represent Jesus Christ into our community. The Bible calls us the body of Christ. Do you ponder that? Do you think about that? We become the physical presence of Jesus to our neighbors and relatives. Yes, there's other bodies of Christ in the community. I'm glad we prayed for a sister church. And they have that responsibility too, but we have that responsibility. We are the body of Christ. And people should be able to see Jesus Christ as they encounter us, as they experience us. For some of them who have never been to a church, who have never cracked open a Bible, that will be the only true knowledge that they have of our Savior. Possibly all they've got so far are curse words and negative stereotypes. How very important then that our behavior and attitude be true to the behavior and attitude of Jesus Christ. How very important then that we constantly review the life and ministry of Jesus so that our mental image of Jesus is accurate. Some of you will have read Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew. How did that come about? Because there was an inaccurate portrayal of Jesus Christ in his personal experience. I know that all of us have been responding to the unbelievable tragedy of the earthquake tsunami in South Asia. Our prayers, our donations need to continue for the loss that has happened there. Even though it's overwhelming, we need to do our part. Let it remind us that being the church that Jesus envisioned, showing the love of God to the world, spreading the good news as Jesus commissioned, really must be the focus of the body of Christ. That we must be about the calling and commission of our Lord, because we never know what a day will bring. Well, let's look at the first of these four invitations when Jesus said, "Come." John chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. Have you ever found yourself tongue-tied when you've been introduced to someone? I do. I get tongue-tied. And I've been introduced to people that are leaders of organizations, someone I've heard about, a famous Christian speaker or author or something like that. And I stand there and I don't know how to open up the conversation. What if you were introduced to the Queen? What do you say to her? How do you open up? How's your job today? Somehow it just doesn't fit. It feels like you should be able to have something more profound than that. And I think that's what happened to these two young guys that are in this story, in this little passage. Here's two serious, eager young men who truly want to find God, who want to see the Messiah come. They've been students of John the Baptist, and you have to be pretty serious to be a student of John the Baptist. They were learning everything they could from John about all that God was promising. This was the first prophet of God for 400 years in the history of Israel. He was new and wild and refreshing in how he presented himself. And he's been teaching them that he's the setup man. He's the forerunner. That he's not the Messiah. He's preparing the way for the true Messiah, the Lamb of God. And then Jesus goes by in this story. And John the Baptist says, look guys, the Lamb of God. In essence, he's saying to them, there he is, boys. And they just start following Jesus, walking behind him. Jesus turns around. What do you want? I don't know what expression he would have used in asking that. But what would you have said in response to that? Here's someone that you've been praying about, you've studied Old Testament prophecy about, that this is the ultimate, because John the Baptist has identified him. Well, Jesus, we've got this theological problem about the resurrection of the dead. Can you give us an answer? That probably wouldn't have been appropriate either. Jesus, we'd really love to see a miracle right here and now. That would have been audacious on their part. And these two were suddenly tongue-tied. And then they came up with a really profound first question. Where are you staying? Guys, this is God in human flesh. There's got to be something better than, where are you staying? But think about it. Isn't this typical of how so many people make contact with the Lord? They're unsure. They're curious. They're testing. How many people say, oh, if I step into a church building, it would collapse on top of me? People are really in a barrier situation to the truth of God. And it's a huge step to make contact, to get over that first step. They're ready to fly away at the first weird thing that pops out of Christians. Like our little daughter, more interested in pens than in relationship. And as people come to Jesus Christ, they often have some issue that they're dealing with. I remember a man that came forward in a service, and I asked him what he wanted. And he said, I want to deal with my alcoholism. That was his focus. It started a journey that came into relationship with Jesus Christ. Just this past fall in our small group, there was a young 16-year-old guy that came. Just a intriguing young man. He had hair down over his shoulders. He's just kind of bouncing all over in life and searching. His family has given him absolutely no spiritual background whatsoever. But his sister had been coming to our small group. And so Joey came. First time he was there. He loved it. People were willing to talk to him, and he asked questions, he engaged, prayer time came. And what are your prayer requests? Well, you know what Joey's first request was? Some people wouldn't even speak up, they wouldn't know what a prayer request was. That wasn't Joey's problem. But his prayer request was, you know, I could really use some help with my math. Well, Joey, we're talking to the God of all creation. Well, but isn't that the first contact? Isn't that the reality that people come, whether it's a relationship based on pens or math, or where are you staying, Jesus? And what was Jesus' response? I love Jesus' response. Come and see. Come and you'll see. What a simple, clear, non-threatening invitation. No control, no pressure, no pressing them into a certain mold in order to spend time with Jesus. Just see my life and make up your own mind. I pray that I represent Jesus Christ like that. And I pray that Markham Missionary Church represents Jesus like that. A posture of arms outstretched, a winsome attitude, no pre-molding. Come and see. And when they come, an experience of the attitude and behavior of Jesus through his body. Let's turn to the second of Jesus' invitations to come. This one is in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. A significant passage that we often use in meditation and devotion. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you hear the heartbeat of Jesus? Do you see his posture? Arms outstretched, inviting the burdened, the weary. In the context of this chapter, in the previous verses, Jesus is lamenting over the childishness of people who didn't like John the Baptist. They were saying, well, he's too strict. He's too narrow, way too conservative. But now they're saying they don't like Jesus. Why? Because he goes to parties. He makes friends with sinners. Way too liberal. And Jesus laments over those who have seen his miracles and just want to use them as a topic of conversation at Tim Hortons. Just talk about them, not react to them, not think through what it means for their lives. And now he aches for people who have seen and heard. And now he invites into a saving relationship with him. I'll give you rest. I'll give you soul rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That could mean take on my school, take on being a disciple of Jesus Christ, as people would follow certain disciples. A couple of them had followed John the Baptist and were in John's discipleship school. Now, as a rabbi, there will be followers of Jesus, and he's taking on yourself the responsibility of being my disciple and my student. Identify with him. Enter into a growth process. Why does he say his yoke is easy and his burden is light? I think he's saying in his school there are only open book exams. The Bible is always available to give answers and guidance. And he says, experience the salvation that comes only through Jesus. No more anxiety about your eternal future. You can rest. It can be in my hands. The third invitation to come is in Mark chapter 1, 16 to 18. Mark chapter 1, 16 to 18. The Gospel of Mark just kind of leaps into the middle of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And so the early parts of his three-year ministry are not recorded in Mark. And already in chapter 1, we see this scene as he walks by the Sea of Galilee. Chapter 1, verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. This invitation to come is addressed to those who have come and seen, and to those who have come and found rest for their souls. When Jesus brings healing and rest into our lives, it is never his intention for us to be spiritual couch potatoes. Now, he invites us into training as workers for him. And we keep learning more about how all of us can be his workers as the New Testament goes on to develop the teaching of the body of Christ. But the reality is that some people only want a fire escape from hell by coming to Christ. They miss the truth that there is a whole way of life in serving Jesus Christ. They miss out that the true way is an abundant way, that there is purpose and direction. They think that they should just sit and soak, but friends, that's a prescription for stagnation. And we know what the odor is after stagnation takes place. But again, as Jesus extends his arms, come. Don't settle for anything less than my wonderful plan for your life. Don't settle for something less than my best for you. Follow me. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I know that some people freeze when that statement is made. Oh, he's going to ask us to go knocking on doors. He's going to ask us to talk to strangers in the mall. Going to have to hand out tracts on the street corner. Friends, the enterprise of fishing for men takes a huge variety of skills and gifting from the Holy Spirit, all working together for the enterprise to be successful. I believe that it takes the whole church being healthy and functioning well. That when a church is healthy, there will be a partnership between individuals and the church in fishing for people. When the church is healthy, you'll want your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors to come and experience what you're experiencing. It'll be good news, and you'll want them to share it. And as you invite people into it, then the partnership of all the other gifting of the body of Christ, as you have wonderful cantatas, as you have special events, as you have a morning time out, all people come in and they get to experience the behavior and the attitude of Jesus Christ through all of you participating in the church being healthy and doing your own part in the calling that God has for your life, so that collectively it's a body expressing the image of Jesus Christ to the whole community. And as you do your part in developing friendships and inviting people to come and see, then the church does its part. Wouldn't it be neat to have just a come and see event? And totally non-threatening, probably very non-religious. Develop friendships. Get acquainted. Some people find out for the first time that pastors don't have three heads. There's all kinds of impressions out there. And that you, through your connection, through your relationship to people, is part of fishing for men, part of embracing them, part of extending Jesus' invitation to come to Him so that Jesus can give them rest. And we can be part of that process. We'll find that fishing for people is a natural development of growing in Jesus Christ. Still needs to be an intentional response on our part to Jesus' invitation. Yes, Lord, we will follow you. We will learn to fish for men. And then the fourth invitation to come brings us back to the story of Jesus that we looked at 3 months ago when we were here on a candidating weekend. That event in the Bible where Jesus came walking on the storm-ripped water to where his 12 disciples were in trouble in their boat. And you remember the story that when Peter saw Jesus out there on the waves, in Matthew 14:28, Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, since it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." What an interesting response. That's a lot better than saying, "Lord, where are you staying?" Kind of different level, isn't it? "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Wait a minute, Peter. Do you realize what you are saying? If Jesus says come, if you go over the side of that boat, you are going where only the supernatural power of Jesus can keep you from sinking. Your own ability will not be enough. Your own willpower will simply let you sink like a stone." And in the midst of all of that turmoil going on, remember the storm was raging, in the midst of the turmoil of life, Jesus said, "Come." And in obedience at that point to Jesus, in obedience to this one word combination, invitation and command, Peter swung over the side and walked on water. I believe that Jesus is giving the same kind of invitation, combination, command to us today. He's standing out there in the midst of the turmoil and uncertainty of our futures, and the turmoil and uncertainty that comes into every person's life as we progress through the ages of life, inviting us out of the boat, inviting us into His future, into faith commitments that can only succeed by the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus took 12 ragtag guys out of whatever the whole world population was at that time. Just a tiny, tiny percentage of the population of the world at that time, and started a movement that now has over a third of the whole world population identifying with Jesus Christ. Something that could only happen by the supernatural power of Jesus. Compare that storm-tossed little boat crew with this wonderful congregation. A lot more than 12. And with all of your experience, with all of your gifting, with all of your skills, your resources, your growth in Jesus Christ that has taken place, all of the foundation of this church, the history of this church that we're building on, add to that this amazing facility that stands as a 24/7 testimony to the presence of Jesus Christ in the community. And add to all of that the reality that in this age, the Holy Spirit resides within and empowers every surrendered follower of Jesus Christ. And frankly, I don't think it takes a great spiritual gift of faith to have a vision of an amazing future that is in the mind and heart of Jesus Christ for Markham Missionary Church. A vision that we will collectively and prayerfully discern together over these next weeks and months. But think back to that boat out in the water. Only one out of 12 responded to Jesus' presence and got out of the boat. I pray that there will be more than one out of 12 in Markham Missionary Church that says yes to Jesus' invitation to come. Get out of the boat. Come out where only the supernatural power of Jesus Christ can bring success into your faith commitment and into your journey with Jesus Christ into our collective future. We've looked at four different invitations that Jesus gave, starting with that simple word, come. There may be some here this morning who need to respond to the first invitation. You may be just exploring who Jesus is. And today you just need to hear Jesus say, come and see, come and hang out with me. Come and spend some time with me and my people. And you'll have that opportunity, as Pastor Barry offered to be here to pray at the end of service, and some elders join with him. If you want to ask more questions, that's a good time to do it. Or with anyone in the foyer, feel free to do that. Some of you here today are burdened and weary in life, and you need finally to simply give your life into Jesus' care in response to his invitation to come, to take his yoke. Let him give you profound and deep rest that you can give all of your life into Jesus' care. Let him give you a new life and a new school of life. Open your heart by prayer. Ask him to be your Savior, your shepherd, who will care for all aspects of your life. Some of you today need to step up to Jesus' invitation to be part of his fishing crew. You have the benefits of knowing Jesus as Lord. Now you need to intentionally contribute to others experiencing the same. And if God the Holy Spirit has been stirring your heart in that area this morning, I pray that in this closing prayer of this message, you will make a faith commitment, that you will progress on that as opportunity comes for involvement, as opportunity comes for training. You will do your part, and that you'll go away from here and start immediately by intentionally becoming a friend to someone that you've just been holding at arm's length. And as Jesus brings a name, Jesus brings a face into your consciousness, you'll say, yes, that's the person I can befriend in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just to have him become a Christian or her become a Christian, but genuinely be a friend, to show the love that God showed to the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the ultimate that he could give. And God calls on us to love the sinner, love the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, out of that self-giving love. Make that commitment this morning. But in this fourth invitation to come, Jesus addresses us collectively as a body of believers to all who make up Markham Missionary Church. Come out here where it's stormy. Come out where it's unpredictable. But where my presence holds you constantly. That's Jesus' words. Where his presence holds us constantly. And where his vision for all that his body can be and do is turned into reality. And I pray that as we finish this message this morning, as we close with prayer, as I ask you to stand, I pray that in your heart of hearts, you'll stand as an acknowledgement to say, yes, we're part of this together. We'll be standing in unison. Just a reminder that we're all in this together. And God wants us to go on together. God wants us to appreciate all of our differences and the strengths that that gives to us as a whole body. He wants us to celebrate our uniqueness as individuals, all focused in on the core that Jesus died and rose again. Men and women, boys and girls, might come to Jesus Christ as Savior. And that as we focus around that core and use our gifting to take us off in different directions in different ministries that touches the world, that our commitment will be to that core of being a healthy church, to the glory of God, and that we will be able to respond openly, willingly, as Jesus leads us into new steps in this journey that he's called us to together. May God bless you. May God stir our hearts as we dialogue, as we get acquainted. I'm looking forward to hearing the expression of what God has laid on your heart and how we can bless one another in ministry. I'm looking forward to hearing the expression of the vision for what Markham Missionary Church can be and do in the future. And out of all of that, the refining that will go on in prayer and discussion and among your leaders, that God will guide us to be that body of Christ that represents who he really is in Markham and region. Let's thoughtfully, quietly stand to our feet as a whole congregation. Thank you, Jesus, that you love Markham Missionary Church. That we've come from so many different backgrounds, places, experiences. And by your supernatural guidance and direction, beyond our understanding, you have brought us together here and now. You're inviting us into your journey. You're inviting us to link with one another in a new stage of the journey. Thank you, Lord, for what that has meant for Karen and myself. How we want to be obedient to your calling. How we want to link up with Markham Missionary Church just to be heart and soul part of this body. Grant, Jesus, that there may be a renewed connection, a renewed belonging, a new yieldedness to your supernatural placement of us here together. And that as that body, we will move forward together, that we will hear from you, that there will be an understanding of your calling in our lives. And Lord, give us great faith to see what you desire to have accomplished in touching Markham first, and the region, and the First Nations, and the province, and our country, and Quebec, and beyond, and the world. Thank you for these wonderful people. And Father, we pray that your hand, and your hand alone, will guide and direct us in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brian, would you like them to continue standing? Please stay standing.